Nice, well played right there, Command and Control. Ladies and gentlemen, gather on the transistor and press the ear. The Doug and Wolf Show, savages in the morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios.
Coming up today, 2:30, the Arizona Diamondbacks' Torrey Lovello, manager, will join Burns and Gambo, as he does every Tuesday. And I'm not saying Burnsy or Gambo should ask, is Brad Boxberger still your closer? But I do want to know why Archie over Boxy yesterday.
Now you just said, though, you gave the numbers before we actually went to the not-so-beautiful part of the program. Can you reread those numbers, Doug Lease, right? Can you reset?
If you're worried about usage, it's you have Boxberger went 14th, 15th, and 17th of June.
14th, 15th, so and with, 17th.
Within that five-day window of 14th through the 18th, you had three outings by Boxberger.
Okay,
and you
three.
Had two by Archie.
All right, two.
14th and 17th. But they had both pitched on the 17th. And then on the June 18th, you pretty much have your choice. I mean, I'm sure you went into the game thinking, you had your plan probably for Boxberger, but a closer that's on fire, you have no problem at all having him pitch in that game on the 17th and 18th back to back. And you're going to look ahead because, players should never do it, but managers do it. You're going to look ahead and say, okay, in the next game, meaning tonight, they're throwing Felix Pena. They're throwing a guy that's never had a major league start.
No.
I've got to count on the offense to give me what I need in that game. I need to close out this one.
I see.
And looking at the performance of yesterday, looking at what happened, when I say yesterday, this is Torrey's mind, I'm thinking, going into yesterday's game. You've got to get a win. Not that the Angels aren't tough, okay? The Angels are a long ways off of first place in the American League West. But if you drop them in the American League Central, they're like half a game out or something.
Over four games over 500.
Okay, so they're a team that's a good team, not a great team. And they've got a great lineup.
Yes.
So you're going into this saying, we've got to erase what happened Sunday.
Yes.
And now we've got a chance to do it. And who did he trust in that situation?
Who do you trust?
And it's not just who did you trust in the ninth inning. You could tell by the way Archie Bradley warmed up that their thinking was, we're going to go with Archie in the ninth. I don't know if that was their thinking before the game. But as the lineup set up,
hello,
it was clear he's looking a couple innings ahead thinking, we're going to have to deal with Trout. We're going to have to deal with Pujols. We're going to have to deal with these with Upton probably in the ninth. But as the eighth inning started to go, they were almost coming up in the eighth. So he went with Bradley to face Kinsler in the eighth, but then kept him in the ninth inning for a four-out save.
Yes.
You have to wonder, was that just because Boxy had pitched 14th, 15th, 17th? Or was it because Boxy's not in a great place right now and you trust Archie?
See, honestly, I thought it was that Pine Box pitched three of those four days. I thought that probably was the reason why, and Archie had only gone two. But having said that, I mean, once again, this has been the MO for the most part, with rare exception for Archie Bradley, the silver bullet, and how they use him.
When is the toughest portion of their lineup
exactly
coming up?
Exactly right. When is it coming up? And guess what? In the ninth inning, Trout, Upton, Pujols. You think about that right there.
Archie was asked on Fox Sports Arizona about Trout, Upton, Pujols in the ninth.
When you have a three-run lead, you know, the biggest thing is getting the lead off, and that didn't happen tonight. So now you shift, and it's like, okay, who cares about Trout at first? I know I picked over a few times, but at that point, you're just focusing on that batter and just making sure you don't give, Upton something to drive out of the yard. So fortunate enough to turn a double play there, and then you have maybe the best hitter of all time up next. And same thing, you just got to put your head down and make pitches.
That's what you got to do right there, right? He just threw gas.
But listen to how matter-of-fact he said that, was zero intimidation. Okay, I personally do not think Albert Pujols is the greatest hitter of all time.
Yes.
But you're not an idiot if you want to talk about him.
Oh, good one.
And then for him just to say that, Upton could take me deep and I had to focus there, and then you're facing arguably the greatest hitter of all time. And boom, he just throws it out there, but with zero intimidation. If you were a fan, were you sitting there watching the game last night, listening to it on Arizona Sports and wondering, where's Boxberger?
No.
I don't think you were. I think a lot of people just thought, good, they got their big hitters coming up. Here comes Archie.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I do believe it was something that they had planned. In other words, they knew that, you know what, Box, we're probably going to sit him down and we'll let Arch actually go out and close, right? Because of that one less appearance in the last 4 days.
I think that makes sense. I think it had to do with lineup. I think in the bottom of the ninth, and here's why. I think you're right. They went into the game thinking, I hope we don't have to use Boxberger.
Yes.
But then, if he would have been facing the bottom of the lineup in the bottom of the ninth, so if you've got Valbuena, Maldonado, and Calhoun coming up, okay, Calhoun had been pitch hit for, so it would have been
You
CY.
Thought maybe they'd go Box.
I think they'd go Box and say, you know what, after that tough save that you weren't, after that tough blown save, after the situation that happened, let's get you right back out there and get that save to, I'm going to say rebuild your confidence. It's not like Boxberger's destroyed,
no.
But you can't say he's confident right now. And this would have been a great way to do it. But no, we're not putting you out there in this situation.
Yes.
This team needs the win, and we trust Archie to get it.
You know what's so amazing about this, Mason O'Neill, right? Go back to the first 10 series of the season for the Diamondbacks. Did they win the first 10 series of the season?
They did.
Yes, they did. They won the first 10 series, ladies and gentlemen. And then they went into that. Oh, my goodness. 8-for-19. 8 of 19. 8 and 19, I should say. I don't know what it was. 8 and 19.
It's only Tuesday.
Tonight is the night it turns.
You got it.
8 and 19 in May. And now all of a sudden, they're 2 blown saves away from winning 6 series in a row after the 8 and 19 in May. 2 blown saves. One in San Francisco that decided that series.
With Avila catching.
Yes, with Avila catching. And, of course, the New York Mets, Game 4.
With Avila catching.
With Avila catching. Okay, I get your point. If they win this series today, they'd win 7 series in a row if Box just would have gone out there and done what he's done all season long. Shut it down.
And if Avila wouldn't have called for a backdoor cutter and then, right. then picked up a bunt that was rolling
just
foul.
Just once, I just don't want to talk about Alex Avila right now. What is your problem?
Were you talking to you?
Salient point. 856. What are you doing? I mean, who are you? Bear that. Honestly, of all the brilliant things I've said on this show, you're going to rip that?
Okay, when's the last time you said something brilliant? I mean, if we really break it down.
It's ridiculous.
We're waiting. Go ahead.
Knock it off. Okay, so what are you doing now? You're making your own little audio file here? Oh, I see it, Bear. Okay, yeah. Et tu, Brute? Et tu?
That was it? We're waiting for anything brilliant.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you brilliance. What do you want? You want some type of brilliant quote? Is that it right there?
No, he just...
Okay.
No.
An entertainer gives people what he wants.
No, time's up.
Okay. An artist gives people what they didn't know they wanted.
I said time's up. DeAndre Ayton?
You wanted it. There you go.
Luka Doncic. Who does ESPN's number one draft analyst say Ryan McDonough should take number one? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who said that? Nobody.
The control room. Bear is doing hardcore 80s rock lip sync wise.
Right.
Aaron tried to do like lip syncing a ballad for this, which was kind of weird to watch them both juxtapose. All right, yesterday.
Mac back there on her phone.
Yeah, she's not
paying, any attention whatsoever.
Amin El Hassan, NBA draft expert from ESPN.
No. No, I mean, I could see him being a number one pick. That's not a knock on him. I think it's in the same way that any of the other names that we bring up.
But you would go...
Yeah, I'd go Doncic. Jonathan Givony, who does a great job for us at ESPN.
Yes, he does. So what would he say?
Well, it's going to be DeAndre Ayton. I would take Doncic.
Oh!
What?
So, it was funny, earlier this morning we were talking to Sean McDonough, and Sean McDonough is an ESPN play-by-play guy, and he's also the brother of both Ryan and Terry McDonough. Ryan, general manager of the Suns, Terry is
director of player personnel.
Of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
And it was interesting listening to him talk about or ask us questions about, isn't it obvious that it's Ayton? And I didn't realize it until he asked. It does make me feel like an age thing. The younger the analyst, the more they go with Doncic. And the older the analyst, the more they go with DeAndre Ayton. And is it because people like me refuse to accept the center is dead?
It's not a knock on DeAndre Ayton. He's a phenomenal talent. He's going to be a 20-10 guy in the NBA. I just, to me, with the way that the NBA game is trending, the value of big men isn't what it was, you know, 5-10 years ago.
You know what? That's a good point right there. It isn't what it was 5 or 10 years ago. And I wouldn't go all the way back to 10 years. I'd go 5 years ago. Okay. I mean, I get it. Think of the Golden State Warriors and the ascension, if you will, of the Golden State Warriors and what they've done and their small ball approach for the most part. Right. I mean, it's been 4 consecutive years now that they've done that. And it's been a work in progress. But to me, again, everything is cyclical. It is cyclical. And I think we're seeing it again. I think we're seeing the return of a new big man, a different kind of big man in the NBA. And I think the fact that you've got guys like DeAndre Ayton at the top, Marvin Bagley III, right? Jaren Jackson Jr., Mo Bamba. I mean, there was a mock draft yesterday on ESPN that literally had those 4 guys going, the first 4 guys off the board, and Luka Doncic wasn't going to go till number 5 on this mock draft. Again, it's a mock draft. I get it. I understand it. But right now, I think everything is cyclical. In fact, I know everything is cyclical. It's very much like the running back in the National Football League, the running back. And you know what, 5, 7, 8 years ago, the running back was like, dead. Are you kidding me? Forget about the running back. We're going to be fine. Well, all we need to do is throw the ball. That's all we need to do. You can get any running back to run the ball. And then all of a sudden you had the likes of Ezekiel Elliott, right? And now we see what has happened with Lev Bell and David Johnson and Kareem Hunt. We know with Leonard Fournette, the return of the running back in the National Football League is here to stay. Isn't that right, Saquon Barkley?
Saquon Barkley has agreed to pose in the body issue for ESPN.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, just want to let you know about
that. Okay, you know what? Cash money, though, right?
Yeah, running back.
I mean, that's big cash money right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got a Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice is, too.
What? What?
Yeah.
No. Jerry Rice.
They had Gary Player in it like 2 years ago, I think.
You remember when Prince Fielder did it? That was something.
Yeah, Prince
Fielder. No, I don't remember that, as a matter of fact.
Barrett. I try to forget it.
Okay. But it burns an image. But I keep saying this as it relates to this topic. And I think this is fair, even if you're sitting around a draft table with real-life NBA general managers.
Right.
If 20-year-old Shaquille O'Neal is coming out of LSU in this draft, are you taking him number one?
No.
And too many people to me are saying the center position is dead. No, no, no. There aren't centers anymore. That's why the center position is dead. Centers aren't around anymore. And would you not take Anthony Davis?
Yes, you would.
So therefore, what's happening is
Joel Embiid.
I don't think the center position is dead. I think it's fair to expect more from centers than we used to.
That's what it is.
It used to be, if you can block shots and score in the low post, that's all you want from a center. I want my 7-footer to bang on your 7-footer, and that's it. And if you don't have a 7-footer, now their 7-footer is going to bang on your nothing, and now you're going to have problems.
Correct.
No, it's fair to look at a DeAndre Ayton and say, the big man is here. We just want him to do more.
Yes.
And DeAndre Ayton does more.
Yes.
So therefore, he should still be the number one pick. Don't tell me that the big man is dead because the position doesn't work.
Yes.
You can still score in the low post. The whole art of analytics has been this. It's drives to the bucket or the three. Analytics says, look at the value of a three-pointer. And if you shoot 38% from three and you shoot 42, 45% from 18 feet,
no.
Guess what? Even though you shoot a better percentage from 18 feet, you'll score more points by shooting the three.
It's Mike D'Antoni.
And I get that theory. But if I've got DeAndre Ayton in the low block, and I've got him picking up team fouls on your team. Now I get more free throws from Devin Booker because you're in the penalty. I like that idea. Why do we downplay that DeAndre Ayton would be shooting close and he can still shoot from distance? No. It just seems simple to me. I get what people see in Doncic. I understand what you see in Doncic. But listen, the Suns don't have an offensive problem. We do have an assist problem. And that's what Doncic could supposedly help. There is an assist problem. But there's not an offensive scoring necessarily problem.
There are no guarantees, no matter who you draft. There are none. There are no guarantees. Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton.
There are guarantees. If you draft a Morris Quinn ahead of a Leonard, you will regret it.
Just no guarantees whatsoever.
That was guaranteed. Still guaranteed.
Do you tell me Jerry Rice? Honestly, Jerry Rice is actually the ESPN, the magazine? He's actually doing a centerfold or something like that? Is that what you're saying?
They don't call it the centerfold. Well, of course,
but it's still the body issue.
Yeah, and they pose you naked with strategic things placed in front of private parts.
That's so, that's disturbing, kind of.
You're not upset you weren't asked?
No, I honestly, you know, one of the reasons why I love going to Vegas, ladies and gentlemen, right? You know this, I've said this before, but I love going to Vegas, right? Take the Warrior Queen, go out there. You know, nobody really knows who you are. Nobody has any idea who you are. So you know what? It doesn't matter. You can just be this big old fat hairy guy who's 55 years old. Just go ahead and walk down. People think you're from Sweden. They have no idea who you are. They think you're from Germany or something like that. It's one of the great things about going to Vegas. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You're just going to go to Vegas. You're going to walk around the pool. You're going to be a big, fat, 55-year-old guy. And nobody cares. I absolutely love that. The freedom, right? Oh, it's probably some guy from Germany. Frankfurt. Just walk by people. The gates. The gates. Was ist das?
I don't understand how you have a good time in Vegas. You would be the most boring
great time in Vegas, as a matter of fact. Are you kidding me right now? Yes, I don't gamble, ladies and gentlemen. I don't. The Warrior Queen doesn't enjoy it as well, right? But, man, we walk around, and are you kidding me? Poolside, right? Some shows at night, some dinner, Douglas. Come on, man.
What type of show are you into in Vegas?
You know, when a man loves a woman, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? He takes her to Vegas.
And sometimes he
takes her to see somebody who can't sing. And that honestly was, I gotta tell you, the Warrior Queen, she likes Shania. So I took her to see Shania, and Shania, it dawned on me, like three songs into it. This girl can't sing. They did everything they possibly could while she was up there with a microphone to distract you from the point that she couldn't sing. There was just one problem with that. I paid to hear her sing. That was the problem.
I would say that's a problem any day.
Never forget that. My young crunk brothers, if you're out there right now, there are two things you need to understand. When a man loves a woman, he engages in bad dancing, number one. And when a man loves a woman, he takes her to see Michael Bolton.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does.
If you love your woman, you do not take her to see Michael Bolton.
Number three, or Shania Twain.
No. That's a bad move. Yeah, I agree with that. Coming up next, which holdout will last the longest? Tell you the longest holdout ever will be me buying Michael Bolton or Shania Twain tickets. I can tell you that. That's next.
By the way, Michael Bolton, you can let go of her hand now.
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Thank
we're
you.
We're not going to tank it
right.
anymore. Don't worry, it won't last for long.
The Cardinals have What was that?
Gia.
Tell me when you're done with your noise.
This is some good stuff right here. A little altar bridge. Man, I like that. Play that. Turn that off a little bit if you got it, ladies. Oh! Now pot it down.
You don't have to listen to him, by the way, Bear.
That's so good. Well done on your part,
Bear. You think about
it,
he has no power.
Yeah, bring it now.
So are you thinking that David Johnson will come to life and come to practice?
Oh, yeah, I do believe that's going to happen. I believe they're going to get this settled before training camp. That's the most important thing. Although I will admit that I am slightly concerned if, in fact, it does bleed into training camp. And the reason why I'd be slightly concerned is just because David Johnson is still learning the National Football League game, ladies and gentlemen. Last year, when you stop and think about it, last year he missed 16 games. I realize he played in the first game. I understand that.
Maybe.
You get my point. Yeah, absolutely. I understand it. But he's still learning the NFL game. And this is a new offense. And I know you could say, well, he's been there all offseason. Well, he's been in the meetings, right? He saw Mike McCoy grease it up on the grease board. Yes, absolutely. He's watched film. He understands he's got a playbook. Yeah, I know all of that. I also know that you truly learn. When you learn the most is when you're actually doing. And you're not doing in the game of football unless you have a mouth guard in and a bonnet on and you're hitting somebody. That's the paradigm in which you perform. That's the paradigm in which your brain thinks. So it does give me a little bit of concern thinking that David Johnson could, if in fact this were to bleed over into camp, which I don't believe it's going to. I believe they're going to get it done before training camp. But if it did, wouldn't be a good thing for David Johnson, in my opinion.
We bring it up. There's not new David Johnson news out of nowhere. If you just tuned in, it's not like he's just declared I'm missing training camp, or it's not like the Cardinals have declared that the negotiations are at an impasse or anything like that. It's just, it was funny last night seeing that David Johnson made a list with Bell, Mack, Donald, Thomas, and Jones as the number sixth most likely holdout to affect training camp.
Summer's here. Good vibrations. Somebody strike up the Beach Boys. Google it, my young crux.
I didn't know you were a Beach Boys fan.
I'm not.
Oh, I see. And the other names on the list are pretty heavy hitters. So you could understand why those names would enormously affect anything. I don't think the Julio Jones name really affects much. But the David Johnson thing, the reason why it bothers me so much is because, number one, I really like David Johnson, the person.
Yes.
And I
great guy.
I do believe you signed your name to a contract and now you're backing out, and I don't respect it when somebody does that. Number two, you're talking about an organization that, since Michael Bidwill took over, doesn't have these problems of not looking at a player that's got 1 year left and struggling to be able to do something about it. So you have to assume things are going to go your way. So if you want to be fair and assume that, then why are you holding out services from minicamp? It just doesn't make sense, because I hate to tell you, David Johnson, you need minicamp more than the Cardinals need you in minicamp, if you think about it. I mean, if you really want to...
Because you got a new offense?
New offense, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. Everything is new.
It's a complex offense.
Yeah, you need that time. And now listen, I realize you could argue if there was tragedy in the family and he missed 3 days, nobody's thinking a thing about it. Of course you have a... Of course. Yeah, go ahead and miss. But when you're missing it over a contract, when the Cardinals want to keep you long term, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, once again, you know what? I worry about that. Just in regard to David Johnson missing time, significant time in training camp. Once again, based on our needs, I want to be clear on this. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't. But the reason why it's bad is because, again, you're really not learning the offense until you actually do it when you're playing the game of football. And that means you've got pads on. That means you're going out there, even in preseason games, and getting 5 reps in this offense. And I think that's important for David Johnson going forward, because he's still learning the game and the nuance of the game. And now you've got this brand new offense. And not only that, it also speaks to the fact that David Johnson is a good and just young dude. He really is, ladies and gentlemen. This is a bad vibe for him. There are some guys that hold out, my friends. I will tell you right now, there are some guys that hold out of training camp. They love holding out of training camp. They love it. David Johnson is not one of them. I'm here to tell you right now, I think I can say that with certitude. David Johnson wants to be with his team. He doesn't want conflict. He doesn't want confrontation with an organization in which he's had a great relationship and has a great relationship with. He doesn't want that. See, this is the vibe. This is the vibe. And this is the thing that concerns me. What if David is uncomfortable in a vibe like that? The good vibrations, the good vibrations that he feels is what we want David Johnson feeling going into 2018. That's what we want.
It's Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to see Kevin Hart live at Talking Stick Resort Arena on July 1st. Listen at 10:15 and 12:15 with Bickley and Murata, or 4:15 with Burns and Gambo for your chance to be a winner.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
At Call Me Maloney, producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. What's today's question?
Who should the Suns draft with the number 16 pick? And I think they just put options that are hard to pronounce. But 38%, your favorite answer. Other.
I'm looking at the answers here. Smith, Gilgeous, Alexander, or Walker?
So, okay, that's not... Okay, let's go first. 28% say Zaire Smith. 25% say Shea, Gilgeous, Alexander. 9% Lonnie Walker.
The fourth. I like the story behind Lonnie Walker, but the answer is other. And the reason why I go other, it's trade up. This draft is
deep. But this trade is... Up. Who should the Suns draft with the 16th pick?
Yeah, they shouldn't. No. They shouldn't take anybody at 16. They should move up. So it's other. That's why it's other. Don't draft at 16.
I'm going to say, you know what? Draft Trae Young at 16. Why not?
Okay. If you're going to play that game, then draft DeAndre Ayton at 16 and surprise everybody with
draft
somebody else.
Draft Colin Sexton. You know? He's falling down draft boards. Number 11 this morning.
I don't think Sexton will be there at 16.
Trae Young is falling.
I know Trae Young won't be there.
According to ESPN and their mock draft right now.
I'm okay with that.
Draft Dwight Howard at 16. I mean, who knows who's going to be there at 16? What is your problem? What
exactly
is your problem?
You're being disagreeable for no reason.
Zaire Smith. I'll take Zaire.
How many Texas Tech games have you watched?
Zero.
Coming up next, Paul's call ain't waiting
till
training camp to spy into the backyard of one of division rivals. Of the division rivals.
Yeah.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Punch it. I'm not a Shania Twain fan, ladies and gentlemen. I am not. I thought the Warrior Queen would enjoy a show. Dinner and a show, of course.
Michaela, fittingly enough, dancing in her Oklahoma sweatshirt to country music. This stuff makes me nervous.
She's sold
a
lot
of
records.
Watching Aaron Lipson.
So you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much.
That's bad. So how country music doesn't make the world nervous, I don't understand. Joy 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party this Thursday starting at 4 p.m. live from Talking Stick Resort Arena.
This head is, to the events. Yeah, yeah. This is killing our lead into Paul's call, by the way.
Really?
Wolf started talking about his trip to Vegas. So head to the events page at ArizonaSports.com for complete details and RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. Visit one of our 15 Valley showrooms or brooklynbedding.com. Brooklyn Bedding, rest made easy.
Hey, it's your call, man. We don't want to hear about how you think Shania Twain is so supremely talented.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Attention, Mr. Number One Pick.
First of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot.
We're talking about you, DeAndre.
He's going to be a monster. There's nobody who's going to enter college basketball like him anytime soon.
And we don't care what your old college coach says either.
7'1", 260 pounds, 40-plus vertical jump, unreal hands, soft touch.
Doesn't matter what former Suns first-rounders say here on 98.7.
Guys like DeAndre Ayton with the skill set that he has don't walk the face of the earth very often.
Who said that, Paul?
That's Casey Jacobson.
Are we clear?
Who needs to be looking at me right now. In fact, anyone on Team 8, and let's keep it 100.
Are we clear?
There's only room in this town.
Are you not entertained?
For one entertainer.
Are you not entertained?
We don't care if you got yourself a brand new shoe deal.
Is this not why you are here?
Paul's Call will handle the entertainment, capiche?
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
By the way, quoting Ayton to Bleacher Report on the Puma deal, Nike is Nike, Adidas is Adidas, he says. I played in their circuits and stuff like that, but now it's a business.
Great cash, homie.
You don't just want product. You're not a kid anymore, says Ayton.
My dad says you don't work hard enough on defense.
The hell I don't.
Ayton winds it up by saying, quote, you're really trying to get bank. That's about it.
I'm really rich.
You're really...
As long as you're blunt about it, I'm fine.
That's fine. You know what? I mean, that's what we do every day when we pick up... The Sawdust Shotgun of Sports!
Oh.
Sports takes and epic game-winning goals dug in every direction.
Kane has stolen it to death! That's what he's there for! A pile of English joy!
There are English muffins.
Would you have any gray poupon?
And
but of course.
Then there's English joy. Piles of it.
Brilliant!
Rejoice, England.
England finally found a way. It was the Kane way.
Of course, you had to go into stoppage time to beat an unknown.
And England beats Tunisia by 2-1.
It's all right. Let the Brits. They're full of themselves today. Hashtag three lions.
Hear ye. We get it. Oh, yay!
Right.
Oh.
That's right. And by the way, you can hear this one.
That's a town crier, Paul.
You know, this one's from my wife. England's win over Tunisia got better TV ratings than the royal wedding you got up in the middle of the night to watch.
Am I offended?
Yeah.
Nice.
So there you go. You know, football still wins out over the royal wedding, and there's, you know, something is still right and orderly with the world.
Still see the Charles Dickens Museum, Paul.
That's 47 minutes of looking at a desk I'll never get back.
It's going to be the most marvelous setting.
No, it's not marvelous.
So good.
Yeah. By the way, the Marvin Bagley also signed on with Puma, as we mentioned earlier. The key to the whole deal for Marvin Bagley.
I don't care.
The fact that Bagley and his family cite that LeVar Ball they view as an innovator.
I don't care.
They say that it was his inspiration for his unconventional endorsement deals that led them to sign with Puma.
I ain't apologizing about nothing. I don't have to apologize about nothing because I don't do nothing I regret.
First.
That's so ridiculous.
And maybe last known instance of anyone citing LeVar Ball and his best practices in the business world.
Yes.
I don't expect to hear that. Ever again, to
don't
be honest.
Bring
with
him here, Paul.
I mean, you know.
You're responsible if Lonzo comes here.
Let's talk the real football.
That's why they're called the 40 whiners, because they're always whining about something.
We're going to look over the block wall into the backyard of our NFC West neighbors, all right? I mean, you know, you got Niners and their fans and broadcasters finally recovering from a decade of ineptitude.
What are the Niners thinking? Right. That's absolutely insane. What in God's name is you waiting for?
Even the owner of the Niners.
I own this football team. You don't dismiss owners.
Everyone in Niners Nation, Jed York, is basking in the glow of Jimmy G.
You can see a lot of the things that he learned from Tom, just going through his progression, going through him quick, going through the triangle, his reads from left to right.
You know who, with his own QB scouting report.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Richard Sherman, fresh off minicamp, talking about Jimmy G and what Jimmy does well.
Taking what the defense gives, not forcing the big play. You know, I think some quarterbacks get impatient, and they're like, man, I'm not getting deep ball, I'm not getting a big play, and they force it, and it's a mistake, and I think a lot of times he doesn't make that same mistake.
And then they asked Sherman about Jimmy G's release.
Is his release
quicker, and does that impact how?
It definitely is pretty quick. It's not A-Rod quick, but it's definitely quicker than most quarterbacks.
Not as good as Aaron Rodgers, but it's a quick release.
Rocket okay. Man, Paul.
But he says, not everything is an A grade on Jimmy G, that Jimmy G has a tell.
It can't really affect how you play, but you just need to read him, hand off ball. You know, he's letting it go, and you have to be decisive when you make those decisions. If he takes his hand off the ball and doesn't throw it, I think he'll throw guys off. But when he takes his hand off the ball, you got to be ready to break.
He's not saying hand off to the running back. He's saying when he takes his hand off the ball, his non-throwing hand, yes, obviously, that's when he's getting ready to fire it.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
That's when Jimmy G will throw the ball. And,
how much you want to make a bet I can throw a football, right, over the mountains?
And so Richard Sherman is telling the world that Jimmy G is telegraphing his passes.
It can't really affect how you play, but you just need to read him, hand off ball. When he takes his hand off the ball, you got to be ready to break.
So,
do you think John Lynch called him into his office after that ball?
Pete Weiss and the rest of the DBs in the Cardinals' backfield, when you get the Niners, you might want to remember that.
Bullseye!
It's your chance to close on Jimmy G.
That's pretty good, Paul.
Scouting report. Paul, you got to wrap it.
It's time for another edition of...
Bobby Golding!
All right, well, if you're so into it, here you go. Like this summer, all right? If you're going into the great outdoors, which we know you won't.
Messing with Sasquatch.
Right. All right, there's something new to fear outdoors.
Chupacabra?
No, not beast. But plant.
An invasive weed that can cause permanent blindness if you watch it sap to your eyes.
What?
Whoa, that's so intense.
What kind of weed?
Totally.
No, not that kind of weed.
Just how bad is the giant hogweed?
Look, you're a plant.
I mean, it's right out of Little Shop of Horrors. Giant hogweed.
I mean, it doesn't eat people, but it does, right, cause big blisters and a skin rash that's so bad it makes poison ivy look gentle.
Oh, not cool.
I'll be gone, dang.
And how giant is giant hogweed?
Giant hogweed grows up to 15 feet high and has leaves that are up to 5 feet wide.
It's twice the size of DeAndre Ayton. That's how giant it is.
I'll be gold dang.
So now that you guys actually get outdoors and actually, you know, exercise or hike.
I'll be gold dang.
But for those that do, know this.
It was found in Virginia over the weekend, at least 30 plants, but yeah, it might be in your state too.
That's right. It might be coming to the AZ. Do not mess with the giant hogweed.
Man's got to know his, right, limitations.
You are merely human. You will lose to this plant.
See it? Call the agriculture experts.
That's
Let
right.
them deal with it. It's
right.
not nice.
What does it look like, Paul?
You know, they say it's like 15 feet tall, has some white flowers on the top, and once again, if you get any of the sap in your eyes, you could go blind. Yeah. It's like toxic out there.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, everybody stand back.
I'll be gone, dang.
This ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo. Call the authorities.
You gotta be kidding.
Doug and Wolf's. The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My biggest takeaway from today's show is the brilliance of Michael Porter Jr., who today on a radio interview compared himself to KD and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then declared it was great to be in the same conversation with them. After he's the one that compared himself to him. Yeah. Jimmy G.
It can't really affect how you play, but you just need to read him, hand off ball.
Yeah.
When he takes his hand off the ball, you got to be ready to break.
Appreciate that, Richard.
My big takeaway, we're 2 days away, Basinonians, 2 days from DeAndre Ayton. Peace and strength. What is your problem?